Today's scripture is John 6, 35 through 40. Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." The words of God for the people of God.
We are continuing in our series. We're talking about values and really some values that we hope to adopt as a church. I've shared that our adaptive change team, they've been kind of working for a while on some of these things. And so helping us kind of better understand. Every church has stuff going on below the surface. It's really good, I think, sometimes to bring that stuff below the surface, to bring it to the surface and to kind of own it better. And so that's what we want to see. We want to see if these values that we share are things that we as a church can own better. And so at the end of the pews are cards, and those are little tan cards like this, and they say our values at First UMC, second value, and all we would like you to do at the end of this service is to say kind of 1 through 10, yeah, this is important to me, this is something I'd like to grow in or not, and then maybe you have a story that this is a really important value to you because of a story in your life. And so we want to know if you're one of those folks that has that. So please fill that out. When you leave today, all you have to do is leave it on your pew when you leave, and we'll come by and pick those up from you. So I grew up, as we kind of begin here, I grew up in St. Joseph, Missouri. St. Joe's about a medium-sized town. It was 72,000 people back in the day, maybe a little bit bigger. I grew up in St. Joe thinking that I was from Oklahoma. Like, I thought I was from Oklahoma because my parents both grew up in Oklahoma, and they actually moved from Oklahoma after college and came to St. Joseph. And so it took me a while to learn, in fact, that I was not from Oklahoma. My parents were. I'm from St. Joseph, Missouri. Now, because that was our scenario, we grew up with kind of no extended family nearby. And so my grandparents, my aunts, my uncles, my cousins, they all lived in Oklahoma and Texas, living far away. And so it was really rare for us to see extended family, maybe once a year, maybe less. So it's kind of interesting, since I grew up in a medium-sized community, since becoming a United Methodist pastor, I think this is the third or fourth smaller community that I've been in. And at first, coming from a larger community, I thought, oh, smaller communities, smaller towns, this is going to be hard, right? And yet, I have learned that, like, small town life is actually really rich. And there are a lot of things that children and people in this community get to experience that a lot of other people in their lifetime will never experience. And I know this next scenario I'm going to say isn't true for everybody, but one of the things that I see in smaller communities sometimes that I'm a bit envious of is when you see, like, whole families in a small community. So you got the grandkids and the kids and the adults and the grandparents and all of these folks in the same community. And some of you all, I remember my mom talking to me about the Sunday afternoon dinner. Like, that used to be a big thing. And for some of you all, you still have that. You still have these Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening dinners, and all the family comes. And I think for me, like, I grew up kind of wishing I was closer to family. Like, I enjoyed my family when I got to see them, but I just didn't get to see them that often. And so what's cool is that churches like this one, even this one, other churches I've been in, sometimes I get invited over to this big dinner, you know, this big family event. And it's happened here where I get to come over and be a part of your family's luncheon, and I might be the only guest. There might be other guests there. But it's always a really good feeling for me. It's always a really good feeling for me when I get to be included in somebody else's family, and I'm treated when I'm there like family. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. And so I kind of use that kind of example as we begin to talk about today's value, the second value that the Adaptive Change team has talked about. And that is that everyone is welcome to our communion table, everyone, period. Everyone's welcome to our communion table, everyone, period. And I don't know that I've ever ran into anybody within our church that has had a problem with that, that hasn't thought that was a really good thing. So in the United Methodist Church, we have what we call the open table. That's kind of our lingo. Our language is, it's open table. Churches all have their own theology about communion, their own beliefs around it, and the things they focus on scripturally and how they practice it. Some denominations, some churches have what's called closed communion. And so in closed communion, you have to be a member of the church to partake in communion. They let you know that. If you're not a member, then we need you to pass today. But those of you that are members, come forward and receive. Some churches have limited communion. And it's really self-regulated. And so they might say something like, you know, if you're not a baptized person within this congregation, then this is for the baptized membership today. Or they might say, you know, if you've received Christ, if you've said this prayer. So some of them have these kind of limitations. But then others, like us, have a kind of a completely open table where we say the table is set for you today. And whoever you are, we want you to come forward to receive. Now, this is not, just so you know, this is not completely unique of the United Methodist Church. It's not like the United Methodist Church is the only one out there with the open communion table. There are actually many different denominations that are like us, that are similar. I grew up Disciples of Christ. And Disciples of Christ, this is kind of their practice as well, as you can imagine being a very ecumenical denomination. It's their practice as well. And so when the Adaptive Change team met, we kind of talked about our future and about kind of a guiding path. Everybody around the table said, you know what? This kind of open table is just incredibly important to who we are. To who we are as a church, to who we are as Methodists, to who we are as Christians. And so it's just very important to us. And let's just kind of flesh this out. Let's think about this together. Let's say you are visiting a different church. And probably, I'll bet most everybody here has had that experience. You have found yourself probably visiting family, visiting friends, going to a different community, visiting another church. Maybe some of you here once upon a time were visitors to this church. All of a sudden, it's communion time in that church. It's communion time, right? And you are told, sorry, you aren't welcome to receive today. This is not for you, right? And maybe some of you have experienced that. Maybe you know. So in that moment, tell me if you were in that moment, what would you think about that? What would you feel in that moment when you're told not for you? Feel kind of rejected? Yeah? Kind of less than, right? Like, here's these members, here's you, you're less than. Yeah. Huh? Make you feel like a piece of dirt, right? Yeah, not good enough at all. I'm just dirt here. What was said over here? Yeah, you may not feel welcome. Like, oh, well, I thought I was welcomed here, and maybe I'm not. I know that, you know, my mom gave me a great story of visiting back their home, my dad's hometown, my uncle who went to the Lutheran church, and it was you know, Lutheran churches like Methodists or particular Lutheran churches in that church, they said, sorry, you can't. And my mom said that, like, she cried, like, when they said, you can't. So, yeah, we've all had these different experiences. So let's flip that around. You go to a church, you're visiting a church, and they say, It's an open table today, and so everyone is welcome to come and receive. What do you think, what do you feel about that church when you hear that invitation? Yeah, you're being accepted for who you are?
I'm welcome.
You're welcomed? Thank you? Yeah. Thank you for letting me come forward and receive. Anybody else, how do you feel? That you're valued for who you are. You're valuable as you are. So I want to keep going with that. One more question. Our theology, so to speak, of communion really reflects what we think about God. So what does an open communion table say about the God we worship? He loves us all. We're all God's children. People never turn us away. Oh, people never. Yeah, God doesn't turn us away. Yep. Yep. Makes everyone feel welcomed. Yeah. Yeah, that tends. And, you know, folks, we try to respect everybody's tradition and the reasons they have. But, you know, we practice an open communion table here because of our understanding of who God is. Now, just in case, once again, not to throw folks that do closed communion completely under the bus, I had a lady that my very first church, I was a senior pastor at, she started coming to our United Methodist Church, and she had a very evangelical background, was a part of kind of a, you know, that type of denomination, and they had practiced, I don't know if I should say closed table, but definitely very limited table. And she came to me and she said, "Pastor Jim, you just let anybody come up and receive communion?" And I said, "Yeah, we do. That's a part of our expression." And she said, "Well, have you not read?" I love, this is my favorite line. "Have you not read 1 Corinthians 11:27? 1 Corinthians 11:27. Let me read to you. This is really good. Let me read to you 1 Corinthians 11:27. And this is what many people take into account in their churches where it's closed or limited. It says this. It says, "Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep," which is, that's code for died, by the way. Many of you have died. "But if we judge ourselves, we would not come under judgment. When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that he will not be condemned with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for each other. If anyone is hungry, he should eat at home, so that when you meet together, it may not result in judgment." Good point. Really good passage. Now, to really think about that, what's happened is that there are some who are hungry. And we don't necessarily always relate to that these days. The poorest of Americans eat pretty well. Right? But these folks and their snails were very hungry, and so some of them were coming to communion, and they were kind of not with Christ in mind, with eating in mind, and gorging on the food. And I don't know if what Paul is saying there is about like a physical issue or a spiritual one. I don't know if he's saying, man, people are just eating so much of communion that they're getting sick to their stomachs, and, you know, or if he's saying, but he does talk about judgment, right? He talks about this judgment that happens over people. So I look at that passage, and what I have to do as a Methodist is I quadrilateral it, right? I want to quadrilateral that passage. Quadrilateral, I've taught it before, is our way of kind of understanding how we read Scripture, how we perceive Scripture. And so the quadrilateral says, well, take something and think about it from the perspective of your tradition. And so from my tradition, we're regularly in the practice of open table, open communion, doing it in this way. So that's something we've been doing for a long time. For others, not. I think about reason. I kind of reason about it. Could this be something that perhaps, like Paul saw sickness and death and just quickly kind of said, oh, that's communion, right? That's God kind of judging you. Does that seem in line to who Jesus was to me and how Jesus kind of set up communion? Oh, not necessarily. I kind of struggle with that. And then last, experience. What does my experience tell me about that? Well, as an experienced United Methodist pastor, I've been watching people take communion my whole career, and I've never seen anybody fall over and die after having communion. Now, if this is the day that that happens, I'm probably going to have to make a shift. So if you don't feel well today, no, I'm just kidding. So I kind of look at my experience. So I do that often when I look at Scripture. I regularly kind of think about those three things in perspective. And so therefore, we do provide the bread and the cup who all are with us. We feel like Jesus said, hey, whenever you come together, do this. So that is our tradition, which seems reasonable and is confirmed by experience to be a good thing for churches and communities, that it blesses both churches and communities. Jesus loved communities. Jesus loved to feed communities. And in Scripture, we see that he often did this miracle with bread and fish. He loved to feed communities, care for communities, did it with bread and fish. In the same chapter we're in John chapter 6 in our teaching passage. If you go to the top of that passage, the top of this passage, it begins with the feeding of 5,000 people. How does Jesus do this? He does it with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, prays over them, breaks it, creates this miracle. All these people, this whole community is well fed, which was needed. So he does this thing. And then same chapter, we go to the bottom of chapter 6. The next day, people have been well fed. They're like, hey, this Jesus guy, he's like the new food truck in town. Like, we got to come back and do this again, right? And so they do. They come back, and instead of doing the miracle again, he preaches to them, which, as you can imagine, is sometimes disappointing when we're expecting a meal and we get preached at, right? But Jesus simply says to them, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. And so yesterday you had this nourishment and this food, and today I am the bread of life. And Jesus is saying, look, spiritually, I have come that you might be sustained in your spirituality and in who you are. And he gets kind of wilder. He says, so eat of me. And drink of me, and my body is real, my flesh is real food, and my blood, it's real drink. And people are like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? And so you get to the bottom of chapter 6, he does this preaching thing, here I am the bread of life, and the title of the little section is Jesus Was Rejected. Jesus was rejected. And that day, many disciples, it said, walked away from Jesus. Too deep. Too deep, Jesus. And so he was misunderstood, and people walked away. Communion is not just a spiritual act for you. It is an invitation into community. Jesus' community here at First United Methodist Church, the larger community of all Christians. It's so much broader, but it starts here for us. It happens here for us. It is provided to us every month. It is a gift to our church. It's not just a gift to our church. It's a gift to our community. For those that would come to this church, you will receive communion, right? It is provided to us by the hands and feet and work of the church. Ray Ann Reed comes early every month. She sets this all up. She gets it all ready. And then when it's over, she cleans it all up. and she cleans us up. Renee Guerin, she brings in a loaf of bread every week, and that bread goes on the altar, and that's what we use for that ceremony. Debbie Kittrell is in the office, and she sets up volunteers every month, different volunteers to be up here so that different volunteers every month can serve you communion. You don't take communion. Communion is given to you by hands that are sitting next to you or around you this morning. Marcia and I do our pastor thing, right? Like, bless it and pass it and coordinate. Ushers will come and ushers will help you get up and participate in this. It's a full church deal. It's not just a pastor deal. It's a pastor and congregation and God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And so please recognize that in this action, community serving community, serving community, serving community. And so everyone is welcome to the table. Everyone, period. We are the family who welcomes anyone to our dinner table and denies none. Yeah, come on over. Come on over. We got space for you today. Don't worry about it. We got space. Jesus said in our passage that was read to us, he said, all those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. I will never drive them away. And so when you agree to take this posture, Jesus' posture, in solidarity with him, you are, I just want to warn you, you're setting yourself up for rejection. You're setting yourself up for rejection because this is not just a spiritual act. It's not just this thing we do once. It's an invitation to community, to serve one another. Have you ever felt rejected? You ever felt rejected by family? By friends? The many people who don't commune with us anymore, right? Kind of feel some rejection there. Well, good. Like now you know how Jesus felt often. The feeling of rejected, and yet do as he did and serve them and serve your community and serve your church because that's the call. Keep the open table, but most importantly, keep the open table in your heart, right? Like this is where we keep the open table closest to us. And also let it be a part of your monthly practice, right? Let it be known to anyone you invite to church. I would love for you to come to church. First of the month is communion, and you are always welcomed at our table because that's important to us. It's important to who we are, right? So, prepare yourself now for the bread of life. A time to be thankful for what Jesus did. More importantly, an invitation to you into community, right? Whoever you are today, you're a part of us, right? His table is our table, and our table is your table, right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this practice of the open table. We are different. We are focusing on different things scripturally in order to do this. But we know that in our heritage that it has blessed and that people get changed and that people come to know you in this setting because of this experience. And so, Lord, we just surrender ourselves over to you this morning as we receive your body and your blood. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.